This is Radical Love Live, an ongoing series of podcasts and special events where we explore faith outside the boxes. Hosted by Mark Dilcom and Kelly Wilson.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How you doing?
I am awesome as always, and hello to our listeners of Radical Love Live.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, this is an interesting one. Psychedelics in church.
Whoa, trippy.
Yeah. Is this the new mystical dimension? So, for you listeners that are not familiar with what's going on, there's kind of this, over the last couple of years, a focus in on using mushrooms and other types of psychedelics for a mystical experience. And so I came across author of a book. His name is Don Latton, who's written a number of pieces on religion. And his newest book is called God on Psychedelics.
Hmm. And what's his premise?
So he did some research.
sounds entertaining.
He did. And so we're going to jump into a little bit of that. So his basic premise is that using psychedelics in of itself is not a harmful experience, but is it as he said, a possible shortcut to God? And how some institutions, I thought, now that's a very interesting point of view. Like, is it straight in there?
Now, that's interesting, because I've always heard that psychedelics are really just modifying chemicals that are already in the body so that, there are mystics who can supposedly reach those levels without psychedelics through years of meditation. And so it may be a shortcut to kind of opening up the mind, breaking down some barriers to the divine that would, that our rational selves would normally have.
Exactly. In fact, he introduces a term, entheogen, and that's spelled E-N-T-H-E-O-G-E-N, and it refers to drugs taken for religious or spiritual purposes. And then, so he goes on, I'll elaborate a little bit further on this. So he says, psychedelic means mind manifesting, which entheogen refers to the divine within. And he talks about how he writes about rabbis and priests and other clergy who have done entheogens as a way to renew their faith.
That's interesting. I could see that, getting mired down in the cares of the world and then some kind of like escape, have a vision.
Reconnect with their faith and their spirit.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and says, there are also the nuns who consciously use psychedelics as a spiritual experience.
Interesting.
Okay. And then there are some that are affiliated with new religious movements, including two that he found in Brazil, who use a tea brewed from two plants native to the Amazon, and something similar to the magic mushrooms as well. So he did some research on that. Like I was saying, and he did bring out one thing that also, when he talks about mystical, and we were talking about that shortcut, though, he said, and this is more of a point of view about mysticism, and I call myself a mystic, and I say that only because I believe all of us can be mystics if we just tap into the spirit and let it happen outside of the boxes. Mm-hmm. But he says, mysticism itself can be dangerous to religious orthodoxy, no matter how it's induced. And so the mystic often challenges, the religious authorities at the time. And that this may be one reason that there's so much hesitancy about this conversation coming into church communities when it comes to using the drugs. Again, not only about the shortcut, but also just like, how does a church even handle any kind of mood altering substance within their community?
Right, right. It seems like there are a couple different avenues there to follow. One being that anytime, I've seen this, there was a period in my life where most of my church experience was in charismatic churches.
Yeah.
Where there was like gifts of the spirit and people talking in tongues and people kind of replicating a mystical experience that they would have on a drug, but just for like from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But it's hard to rein it in if you're a pastor, because if people are like prophesying and saying like, God just told me this, and it's not in line with orthodoxy, you have to really measure, is that God? Is that this person imagining something? And even in that environment without the drugs, there was a difficulty kind of reining it in. I can only imagine if you're in a congregation of people who are tripping and they're like, wow, I see, the nose of God, or whatever, that it would be hard to rein it in. And there are probably some congregations that would benefit from it, from being, like taking off the shackles and kind of being Absolutely. A little bit more imaginative.
Yeah.
But yeah, control, I think, is part of what I'm hearing there.
Sir, I think you're onto something. And I've never thought about that. Thank you for your point of view, because you do see things in a wonderful, wise way. And you're right. Church is somewhat of a structured experience. If you're going to allow people to have a mushroom shake like what we did in college, that could be an experience. So... Well, guys, if you want to check that out again, the book sounds like a very interesting read. It is called God on Psychedelics, written by Don Lattin, Lattin. And then I want to bring up something else that I came across this week. And it's about this TV series, The Chosen.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, you have some experience with that, right?
Well, I have some family members that are really into it and have recommended it. I have not watched it myself.
Likewise, I actually would like to watch it. I'm very curious, and so it's on my list of things to do after I get done with Succession, which I'm woefully behind. I'm just finished season one, and oh my gosh! So, yeah, so it may be a while before I get to The Chosen. But so the reason why I bring this up, though, is it's not so much about the show, but it's some of the viewers that they're going to get. So I found out about there is this network called the Prison Fellowship, and it is a criminal justice reform organization that was created by evangelical Christians, and they are going to distribute this into U.S. prisons. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, is this proselytizing? if I'm in a prison, I mean, I guess I have choices of what I could watch. I don't know.
Or are they just piping it in? It's like, here's this vision.
Maybe. I'm having a little bit of a problem with it, because to me, and maybe I am wrong, but my response to this is processing this is within U.S. prison populations. I know a lot of folks, men in particular, will convert to Islam in church, and that's a growing in the prison communities and populations. And so I don't know, maybe I'm way off base here, but, is this a counter agent to that, is to bring Christianity into the church to combat? I don't know, maybe I'm finding a problem that does not exist.
I think the evangelical impulse is to spread the good news, reach out to the prisoner and the widow and the I think the question for me in this case is, what is the good news? Is it that everybody has to bow down and specifically give themselves over to Jesus in order for it to be the good news? Or is the good news that God loves you and that there's, possibilities beyond, there's possibilities to be redeemed, even if you feel like you're irredeemable, that there's levels to it, and how specifically the good news has to center around this particular religious story.
Good point of view. And you really bring up a good point. I have one the belief that no one is beyond redemption, and I am a follower of the teachings of Jesus. I even dare call myself a Christian, even though some probably call me a heretic. But I'm not opposed to doing that. You're right, because if I'm in prison, it's probably not a good experience, and I'm probably separated from the world at large. So maybe this is one way to get it in there. Although I suspect that there's church. Now, I'm just reading a little bit about the piece here, too. It says that they also, Prison Fellowship has an in-person ministry that they're resuming now that the pandemic is over. But they are saying that The Chosen's appearance will give prisoners plenty to talk about with the organization's volunteers who can provide free Bible resources to supplement the series. And then he goes on to say, this is Ackerman, I don't know, his whatever. We love what they're doing and what they've created. It's a movement. The Chosen made the Gospels human, and made them accessible and understandable by people of all backgrounds, which is why it is so well received in prisons. And then they also did create a DVD that's available through the Prison Fellowship storehouse as an online resource for chaplains.
I think a lot of it hinges on choice. If the prisoners have a choice to watch it or not,
right?
Or if it's this kind of forced, you know, Clockwork Orange thing. It reminds me of, I went to the beach one time with some friends, and on the boardwalk, there was this little place. It was called the Sun Spot, S-O-N-S-P-O-T.
Ooh, okay.
And they were serving free burgers, free fries, but you went in and it was Christian music blaring, TVs everywhere with different Christian movies, like Christian books everywhere. And it was just like this little like immersion experience while you're sitting there eating a burger with your friends at the beach.
Okay.
Now, this is some place that you could choose to go into or choose not to go into. Now, if the entire boardwalk was covered in proselytizing material, mm-hmm. then it would be this kind of forced thing. So, I think that the ability to choose whether you're going to consume this or not, and whether you're going to receive this message or not, is an important part of the story.
Well, Kelly, you have a much more balanced and nuanced point of view, as opposed to me, where I'm like always jumping off the edge on things like this, like, oh my God, what are they trying to do? So, and that's a very good point. Maybe hopefully it is an option. All right. Well, folks, it's time for us to wrap up this episode. Again, we appreciate all of our listeners who are following us. And Kelly, as always, thanks for your time and a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you. This was a great conversation.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Radical Love Live, co-hosted by Mark Dilcom and Kelly Wilson. All rights reserved. You can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, and other popular podcast platforms. Go to RadicalLoveLive.com to learn more about us, watch recordings of our live events, and listen to our podcast. We also invite you to check out what Kelly and Mark are doing by going to our websites. Find Kelly at KellyWilson.com and Mark at MarkDilcom.com. This is Radical Love Live, where we explore faith outside the boxes.